In today's news headlines, Senator Cory Booker and former National Intelligence Director James Clapper are the latest targets of the pipe bomber who has been sending suspicious packages to many of President Donald Trump's favorite political targets. The packages addressed to Booker in New Jersey was discovered in Florida on Friday morning, and the one sent to Clapper was found at a mail sorting facility in New York. This now brings to 12 the total number of such pieces of mail found this week. The FBI is engaged in a nationwide manhunt for the perpetrator. It isn't yet clear if the intention was to actually cause damage or to simply sow fear. Authorities have traced the mail back to a U.S. mail distribution center at Opa-locka, northwest of Miami in Miami-Dade County, Florida. According to Reuters, authorities called the parcel bombs an act of terrorism. They were sent less than 2 weeks before national elections that could alter the balance of power in Washington. Larry Johnson, former head of criminal investigations for the Secret Service, spoke with Associated Press and said,
"It looks like it's someone making a statement that, guess what, I can send letters to prominent people all at the same time and bring some type of focus to my cause. Whether we know what that cause is or not currently, I think eventually we'll find that out."
That's Larry Johnson, former head of criminal investigations for the Secret Service. On Thursday, California Representative Maxine Waters, who is one of the recipients of the suspicious mail, issued a video response.
"I don't know whether the bombs are real or not, but we should not crawl under the bed, close the doors, not go out, be afraid to go to rallies, whatever. We have to keep doing what we're doing in order to make this country right. That's what I intend to do. And as the young people said, I ain't scared."
That's Representative Maxine Waters, a frequent critic of Trump and an even more frequent target of Trump's attacks, responding to the pipe bomb packages. Trump has dug in his heels and refused to tone down his angry rhetoric, saying on Twitter on Friday, "Funny how lowly related CNN and others can criticize me at will, even blaming me for the current spate of bombs and ridiculously comparing this to September 11th and the Oklahoma City bombing. Yet when I criticize them, they go wild and scream, 'It's just not presidential.'" Later on our show today, we'll turn to Julie Milliken of Media Matters for America to discuss just how seriously Trump has encouraged violence over the past several years and how the right-wing media are determined to blame the left for what has happened. In other news, a 51-year-old white man named Gregory Bush has been arrested in Louisville, Kentucky, for the murder of two African Americans, 69-year-old Vicki Lee Jones and 67-year-old Maurice Stallard, in a supermarket. Bush was charged on Thursday with 2 counts of murder and 11 counts of wanton endangerment. According to the New York Times, surveillance video had recorded Mr. Bush's unsuccessful attempt to enter the nearby First Baptist Church of Jeffersontown shortly before the attack. Journalist Sean King, who has been closely following the story, wrote in The Intercept, "When Ed Harrell, a white man in the parking lot, saw Bush coming toward him, he pulled out his own revolver and yelled to ask what was going on. According to Harrell, Bush replied, 'Don't shoot me, I won't shoot you. Whites don't shoot whites.'" King wrote, "It was racism. These killings were hate crimes. Saying otherwise is not only an insult to the victims and their families, but to the entire black community of Louisville, which is reeling right now from this." Caitlyn Jenner has written an op-ed in the Washington Post, taking back her support for Trump. The prominent transgender celebrity and author had backed Trump in the early days of his presidency, despite strong evidence showing he was likely to undo the rights of LGBTQ Americans. On Thursday, Jenner wrote, "I thought Trump would help trans people. I was wrong." She explained, "I believed I could work within the party and the Trump administration to shift the minds of those who most needed shifting. But the reality is that the trans community is being relentlessly attacked by this president. The leader of our nation has shown no regard for an already marginalized and struggling community. He has ignored our humanity. He has insulted our dignity." Jenner's op-ed comes a day after the Justice Department filed a brief with the U.S. Supreme Court, saying that transgender workers are not protected by the Civil Rights Act of 1964, and several days after it was revealed that Trump intended to remove Title IX protections for transgender people. Trump on Thursday announced a plan to lower prescription drug prices for some Americans. The plan would slowly shift the prices of drugs for Medicare recipients to the same level as the international market. It would not apply to medication bought at the drugstore, only given at doctors' offices, such as cancer treatments. President Trump, in a speech at the Department of Health and Human Services, in his usual manner of exaggerating his achievements, touted the plan as far more important than it is and cast it in nationalist terms.
Today, the United States will finally begin to confront one of the most unfair practices, almost unimaginable that it hasn't been taken care of long before this, that drives up the cost of medicine in the United States. In other words, Americans pay more so that other countries can pay less. Very simple. That's exactly what it is.
That's President Trump speaking on Thursday about a complex plan that he has proposed to drive down the costs of a very narrow set of drugs. According to Associated Press, House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi of California said if Trump wants to save seniors money, he should seek congressional approval for Medicare to negotiate prices for its main prescription drug program, Part D. In news from the caravan of asylum seekers heading to the U.S. from Central America, there are now reports that Trump is considering a plan to close the U.S. southern border with Mexico using an executive order. According to The Times, the proposal amounts to a sweeping use of presidential power to fortify the border and impose the kind of aggressive immigration restrictions and enforcement measures that Mr. Trump has made a signature pursuit. The plan is expected to prompt a swift challenge in federal courts. Earlier this week, there were reports of 800 to 1,000 U.S. troops being readied for the border to meet the caravan. Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen said on Fox News on Thursday night, "We do not have any intention right now to shoot at people, but they will be apprehended, however." Later on our show today, we'll get an update on the caravan with Jose Artiga of Share El Salvador. We'll also discuss the current human rights situation in Honduras, which the U.S. is partially responsible for and which is driving the refugee crisis. General Motors has said it will propose setting a single emissions standard for vehicles to the federal government. It also wants the government to mandate that a certain percentage of all vehicles produced by a company be zero emissions cars. Mark Russ, a GM executive, said a national zero emissions program will drive the scale and infrastructure investments needed to allow the U.S. to lead the way to a zero emissions future. GM will make the proposal as part of the written comments being accepted by the Trump administration on its plan to roll back Obama-era vehicle emissions standards. The company cited it would be cheaper to have one standard than a patchwork of standards for cars, referencing California's tougher requirements. And finally, Google on Thursday announced that it had fired 48 employees over the past 2 years over sexual harassment accusations, and that those employees were let go without severance packages. The announcement was in response to a New York Times story published hours earlier called "How Google Protected Andy Rubin, the Father of Android." The Times article details how the internet giant paid Mr. Rubin $90 million and praised him while keeping silent about a misconduct claim. And that does it for our headlines today.